Thursday, May 8th, 2025, and you're listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Today, we continue our look into the book of Matthew, chapter 12, with part two of a message titled, Jesus and the Sabbath.
God didn't create man to be a slave to honor the commandment. I made the Sabbath. I created the Sabbath. I designed the Sabbath for you to be a blessing. What does that mean? I desired. Now, this is where if anyone says Jesus doesn't teach on the Sabbath and there's no obligation on the Sabbath, that's still what he's saying right here. You've misunderstood the Sabbath. Of course it's important. I gave it to you as an opportunity to do what? To rest.
And now, here's Pastor Chris.
Here, we have the same scene. Well, not totally. They've actually done something far worse. The effect of the law itself said in Leviticus 24:9, and it shall be for Aaron and his sons, and they shall eat it in a holy place, since it is for him a most holy portion out of the Lord's food offerings, a perpetual due. The law said it was for the priests only. Jesus said it was not lawful for David to go eat it. Jesus says, now feel this. Do you forget that David did something not lawful? We all want to explain this away at this point. You feel the offense of this? I mean, if there was ever a moment that the Pharisees said, this antinomian? Jesus says, the greater than King David ate. And he gave it to a whole bunch of people of whom it was not lawful to eat. And what is the effect of that? Well, it's kind of easy. They did what was not lawful. What do you think God thought about that? When they did what was not lawful. Now, do you see why Jesus would have caused an uproar in Israel? We're kind of coming against two different religions here, but are we? Really? They're just strict observers of the law. They would have unitedly said, he's a lawless rabbi, teaching people to break the commandments of the Lord. Now, here's the hard aspect to the sermon today. Be compromised people want to stand for nothing, so they love this. Because they think Jesus isn't requiring on anything. And we'll get there. We are not in a scrupulous age of people who are really more prone to legalism. We are in our own way, but we're kind of in an age of lawlessness. So this thing just sets well for us right now, doesn't it? But what I want you to think about is how it captures the human heart, which resides in all of us, me here. They had built on top of the law a fence around the law, which came with all these extra burdens, which is the yoke Jesus was talking about. They do this in Matthew 15 when the disciples do not wash their hands correctly when they ate bread according to the tradition of the elders. That's coming. And so in chapter 24 of the Talmud, you had, keep in mind, you could only walk on the Sabbath 1,999 steps. And no more than 3,000 feet from home. So they've already broken what would come to be common tradition. The rabbis hemmed themselves in, and they did try to find one way around it. Further, if at the 3,000 foot mark you placed a foot there, it was considered an extension of their home, so they could go another 3,000 feet. It's just dumb. This is dumb. Edersheim, who's one who wrote a lot on Jewish history, first century history, says that an egg that was laid on the Sabbath could not be eaten. Why? Because it was not destined for a weekday. So the egg didn't exist then. But if the hen was kept, not for laying, but for fattening to be eaten, the egg could be eaten as part of the hen that fell off. I'm not joking. Like, this is like real history. I'm glad I got you to chuckle. It's just like, it's absurd. What's interesting here is that Jesus didn't go to, he will in Matthew 15, he didn't go to the extra burdens yet of the hand washing tradition of the Pharisees. Here he goes to the law itself, the ceremonial law. They are raising with Jesus an extra biblical man-made Sabbath regulation here in their rubbing as sifting, but Jesus goes to David and to the actual written ceremonial law. The showbread was only for the priests. Pointing to David is a big move. What does it really show about our Lord? Well, I mean, it's really kind of precious, isn't it? In the Sermon on the Mount, he loves to feed his sheep. He's Lord. Do I not have the ability to feed you? Will I not care for you? Will you, if you ask your father for bread, will he give you a stone? Don't be anxious. I'm going to feed you. He's Lord of the feeding. He's Lord of caring for you. He's concerned about their eating. They're out on the ministry of the gospel, and they're hungry, so they walk up to the actual showbread, says Jesus. Should David and his servants not eat because the law said don't? Oh, we're pressed here. We are pressed here. You see? It was only for the priests. Have you not read in the law how on the Sabbath the priests in the temple... Here you go. Here's another example. How about verse 5? Have you not read in the law? Okay, we're not talking extra burdens, the fence stuff yet. Have you not read in the law how on the Sabbath the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are guilty? The priests had to work on the Sabbath. And they profaned it by working. Oh, you see how I want to explain all this away right now? No, he's meant. He's jarring to them. You know how much work Pastor Gordon does on the Sabbath? I would love to do what you do sometimes. Do you know that? I don't know what you do, but I want to do it. As a pastor, I'm up early. I wake up my family for you. I work all day. Now, does the law give me a provision? Listen carefully. When I read the fourth commandment today, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath to the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you nor your son nor your daughter, your manservant nor your maidservant, nor your cattle, nor the stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that's in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Now if you want to follow directly from the fourth commandment, I should not be working. I'm a violator. I'm a Sabbath breaker. And Jesus says, people find stuff like this all the time to avoid coming. The priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are guilty. Well, are they? Jesus wants us to wrestle with that. See what's happening here? Here's something exposed here of how people relate to the Lord. Isn't that the issue? They live under the law. The ceremonial laws here the Pharisees would take and beat down the people with them with the fine precision distinctions. They sat around arguing about all the different interpretations, and the rigidity of the Pharisees on this and the emptiness of their whole religion, they set nobody free, you see. So that they could attack Christ here, who's the Lord of the Sabbath, who gave the Sabbath, and they added all these other laws on top of it to hem it in and protect it. Jesus says, not even God's written divine law was intended, and the ceremonial law was intended to be done and performed with such rigidity that would produce this kind of legalism. That would create this kind of burden. That would create this kind of emptiness in people. They're not under the yoke of Christ. Come to me, my yoke is easy and my burden's light. They're not under the yoke of Christ. They're not set free. I wonder how many people stay away from Christianity because of this right here. Creating burdens of people who aren't free. Now, do you think that means freedom to lawlessness, which is what a lot of people think? No, no, no. Notice how it's emphasized again. And he entered the synagogue, next scene. And a man was there with a withered hand. And they watched Jesus. Notice they're just watching him. They're just watching him to see whether he would heal him on the Sabbath so that they might accuse him. They probably planted him there. The man's hand was dead. They believed that any healing by a physician could only be done on the Sabbath if it was a life and death manner. They had sat around and debated about this. They had the different schools of thought wrestled with what kind of medical help could be given on the Sabbath, and they came to the conclusion, it's only if somebody's dying can you do anything. Here's the Lord of the hand. He's the Lord of the hand. He cares about your hands. He cares about using those hands to pluck grain to eat. Can't be done. To make a comparison, if we drove outside of the church today and over here on Broadway, some guy's tire pops, would we stop and help if he needed it? I think we probably would. Or would we want to make sure at least no church people saw us? I mean, we would kind of think the guy can wait for Discount Tire till tomorrow, can he? Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm? To save a life or to kill? What's lawful? What's the aim of the Sabbath? Silent. Is it okay to do good? Can a doctor treat a patient? Can a fireman come if your house is burning? Why do you think we have a Sabbath? Jesus says, stretch out your hand. And immediately it's healed. And the text ends by saying they want to kill him. They sought to destroy him. I remember in Linden, what everyone had come to think about the Sabbath. This is what I'm trying to get at here. What did everyone think about the Sabbath? What was the single thing that everyone said about the Sabbath? It had nothing to do with coming up to worship. The prevailing view of the Sabbath, anyone who held to the Sabbath, was don't get caught mowing your lawn on Sunday. See what we did to it? See what you've done to the Sabbath. You've made everyone hate it. They're not free to observe it. They're not free to want to observe it. You've missed the intention. This is what we've done. And it's happened here. Because the yoke, when we think about it, on the Sabbath, we think, and we have come to believe, that it's just about rigidity, hemming us in so that there's no joy. That's the lie we've bought into. I have a different yoke. But it's not what you think. It doesn't mean to set it aside now. It's to come and enjoy it and be at worship. You're still not free. That's why you kick hard against the goads. How sad it is when someone was hungry that they made it so that they could not even eat, but God wanted to feed people. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. Go learn what this means. That's what I desire. I am the Lord of the Sabbath. I'm telling you of its intention. The law and the Sabbath was to be a gift for you. God didn't create man to be a slave to honor the commandment. This is important. I made the Sabbath. I created the Sabbath. I designed the Sabbath for you to be a blessing. What does that mean? I desired. Now, this is where if anyone says Jesus doesn't teach on the Sabbath and there's no obligation on the Sabbath, that's what he's saying right here. You've misunderstood the Sabbath. Of course it's important. I gave it to you as an opportunity to do what? Well, you're a busy people. To rest. You mean I get to rest? You get to rest. You get to do this. Can you believe it? Every Sunday you should spring up out of... Somebody said, I think I saw somewhere, you know, you got an extra hour today. That's why you're very alert right now, right? And somebody said, can you believe it? Some people might actually get to church an hour earlier and it would be disastrous. Well, you could come and you could pray and prepare your heart. What was the design of the Sabbath? Would you, if a sheep fell into a pit, would you not lift it out of there on the Sabbath and do good? You're so much more valuable than sheep. What do you think I'm here for? Here's where you know if you're one of the Pharisees here. We all are, by the way. You think of the Sabbath as a burden. You think when the pastor says you need to be at worship, you think, you see, that's legalism. Well, no. That's not legalism. You're worshiping God. That's what he's setting you free to do. It's all backward. You're not free yet. It's intended for you to be set free and make the day a delight to worship him and to love your neighbor and to serve your brothers and sisters. That's the design of the day. The design of the day is to actually do the works of serving one another. Doing good on the Sabbath. I'll close with this. Joey Piper in his book on the Sabbath, I've always liked this. I just think it's helpful. He gives a very instructive analogy. And it goes like this, a little story. One day there was a king who had built a splendid city. In the middle of the city, the king designed a beautiful park with ponds, fountains, and springs, magnificent trees from all over the world, inciting stretches of lawn. Weekly, the king met with his subjects in the park, and his people delighted in the time with him and one another. One day, the king had to go away. And in his absence, the rulers let the park become run down. And it was overrun with weeds. And trees were not pruned. Everything was in ruins. A new group of rulers came in who were concerned to restore the park to its former beauty. They pulled out the weeds. They replanted. They pruned the trees. But they were fearful. Here it is. They were fearful that it would fall again into disrepair. In order to protect the park, they put a fence around the park's border and along the pathway so that the people could only look at the beautiful sights. But they couldn't actually use the park. Then one day the king's son came and in anger tore down the wall and said, enough of this. The park is for the people and the city to remember my father and to enjoy him. But you've kept them out of the park. Jesus, come to me. All you who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. What are you doing? My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. You'll know what honoring the Sabbath is. You'll know it in joy. You'll know it in happiness. That complaining spirit will go away. Those burdens you're carrying, like the stubborn Israelites in the wilderness. Come. Come to me. And Sabbath. And enjoy communion with God. And with one another. That's the kind of God I am. Don't let them do that to you, to me. Or to you. You come. And you rest. What a God. Amen. Lord, thank you for your mercies to us. Thank you for drawing us to you gently. May we come to Jesus Christ and rest and fellowship and enjoy you. Bless us, O Lord, with this perspective. We see what we are prone to then try to establish our own righteousness before you by perfectly, we think, keeping the law. May we, O Lord, take this yoke upon us, the one who is meek and lowly in heart. May we find rest for our weary souls. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, that's all the time we have for today. As always, we thank you for listening to us here on Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. We hope you'll join us next time for our ongoing studies in the book of Matthew. Until then, may the Lord bless you and keep you. To learn more about us, visit agradio.org. That's agradio.org. There you'll find a variety of resources, including our weekly podcast, which airs Wednesdays at 7 a.m. Pacific on YouTube, Spotify, and X. You can also access past radio broadcasts, blog articles, devotions, and additional sermons from Pastor Chris. For updates and news, be sure to join our newsletter, available right on the website. An emailed newsletter is still one of the best ways to stay connected with an organization. If you'd like to get in touch, the best way to do that is through social media. We're active on X, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Spotify, and more. You can find all the links to our profiles directly on our website. We also have a contact email. That's questions@agradio.org. That's questions@agradio.org. So if you have a question or feedback or you just want to connect, we'd love to hear from you. After all, we are looking to build a community of active listeners who share in our passion for sound biblical teaching. Abounding Grace Radio is a listener-supported ministry, and your financial support is vital to helping us continue this work. Faithful partners like you make it possible for us to share the gospel every day. If you've been encouraged by what we do, would you consider partnering with us? You can do that by visiting our website and clicking the donate button to make a secure gift of any amount. We're preparing new resources and outreach opportunities to help spread the gospel and strengthen the community of listeners. It's the generous support of people like you that make this all possible. Have a praise report or a word of encouragement? We'd love to hear it, and so would our listeners. Just grab your phone, record a 5 to 10 second audio clip, and send it to us at media@agradio.org. That's media@agradio.org. By sending your clip, you're granting us permission to use it on the air. It's a simple way to share what God is doing in your life and maybe even hear yourself on a future broadcast of Abounding Grace Radio. We're excited to hear what you might have to share.
Abounding Grace Radio and many of our guests on this program are affiliated with the United Reformed Church of America. If you find yourself in the Escondido area, you are invited to attend worship where Pastor Chris Gordon is our pastor. We're located at 1864 North Broadway in Escondido. Morning service begins at 9:30, adult Sunday school at 10:45, evening service at 5 p.m. Visit escondidourc.org for details and direction. That's escondidourc.org. A reflection of the United Reformed Churches of America, we at Abounding Grace have an emphasis on supporting local churches that are in concert with the URC. One of our churches can be found right here in Ventura. Ventura Reformed Church is located at 78 Chrisman Avenue here in Ventura. Our worship service begins at 10:30 a.m. with our catechism class starting at 9:30. Details, directions, and further info can be found at christreformed.org. That's christreformed.org.